Hello, everyone, and welcome to Full Time, where we take you around the world of soccer, locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. Full Time is presented by the Game Sports Show and powered by the Game Entertainment and Media. You are listening to Season 2, Episode 8 of Full Time. I am your host, Daniel Scarpino, and with me is our co-host, Gaetano Gallo. Before we begin today's show, Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. With their three locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, you can download and access the Pizza Portal app so you can enjoy a delicious, hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. We remind our listeners that recordings of Full Time occur weekly or bi-weekly, and uploads to all of our platforms for public viewing and listening occur weekly or bi-weekly as well. Folks, we are overjoyed to be here with you this evening. We cannot thank you enough for your support of the show. Your willingness to sit with us to talk about the beautiful game is more than we could ask for. Gaetano, just days away from Christmas, and we get to sit down and talk about the sport that we love. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dan?
Could not be better, G. Thank you for that. I'm currently on holiday. Just got back from a little weekend getaway, so I'm definitely feeling good. And for all of our listeners, this show is our final show of the 2022 calendar year. This also marks the end of Season 2 on Full Time, as we are officially wrapping up the World Cup. Season 3 will commence in the new year, 2023. In today's show, we will be discussing the third place match from the World Cup. As well, we will be discussing the World Cup final. Additionally, we will preview the upcoming domestic league competitions that will resume just after Christmas. Finally, we will provide you with a local soccer update. As always, if anyone would like to listen to our previous content, please check us out at Full Time on the Game Sports Show. Before we get into today's content here this evening, Gaetano, I just wanted to put this out there, and I think our listeners will certainly appreciate it. Obviously, with it being the Christmas holiday, we as human beings tend to become a little bit more giving, grateful, and joyous this time of year. This show started about 2.5 years ago. For the people who followed us from the beginning, you all have remembered that this podcast was originally called the Game Sports Show Soccer Edition. In the early part of 2022, we rebranded the show to make it more of our own, calling it Full Time. Having started the show with our beloved Scott Nason, who unfortunately passed away back in September, this show really has given us all such a sense of enjoyment, gratitude, and humility. While one might say, hey, it's just a show, it's not that big of a deal, I think that there probably is some truth to that. However, when we connect to things in life that create deeper meaning to us as people, we inevitably make the world a better place, even if we can't physically see the results of our work immediately. As well, when we put our efforts towards the things in life that we are passionate about, we are undeniably sharing our gifts with those who want to be immersed in it. Life really is a precious thing, and the fact that we get to get up each day and hopefully do what we love, along with just being alive and enjoying life, I really do think is a blessing that we oftentimes misplace or take for granted. How thankful I am personally to have been able to share the stage with someone like Scott on this show, who really helped me see that life itself is amazing and that doing what you love is such a privilege. I am incredibly grateful for this platform to just simply talk about a sport that has been at the forefront of my life since I was a little kid. More than that, Gaetano, I am beyond grateful that I can talk about this wonderful sport with a friend like you, someone who is caring, compassionate, and fun to be around. We are really in the heart of the holiday season. I want to extend, on behalf of Gaetano and myself, as well as everyone at the Game Sports Show, our deepest and most sincere thank you to everyone who takes the time to listen to us talk about the world of soccer. We hope that you all love our content as much as we love creating it. G, I just want to say thank you for everything that you do for this show and for being willing to talk about the one thing that we are both equally passionate about. From the bottom of my heart, I wouldn't want it any other way, my friend.
Oh, thanks so much, Scarps. I'm so thankful and grateful for the opportunity to talk on Full Time with you and be a part of the Game Entertainment Media family. So thank you again.
That means a lot, G. And again, thank you a lot. It really does mean, it means more than I could put into words. So in saying that, I really am looking forward to getting today's show underway here and now. So I say, let's do it. Without further ado, Gaetano, and to everyone who has taken the time to tune in here today, let's kick off. We begin today's show by having a look at the third place game at the World Cup and the World Cup final as well. Gaetano, the World Cup has now come and gone, but we were treated to so many great moments throughout the tournament. Give us your summary of this World Cup, sir.
I think this is maybe the best World Cup I can remember in terms of the quality of the games, the superstars showing up. It always blows me away how good the World Cup gets every year. And every year, I say the same thing, that it's the best one yet. It's the best one yet. And it's just, it continues to improve and improve. Yeah, this was just a phenomenal tournament.
Well, and I hope that that trend continues, because the next one, as we know, is in our own backyard. And that would be certainly cool if it continues to get better. So as you said, this World Cup definitely brought us more than enough memories to discuss for a long, long time. And we will begin our discussion with some of those moments and memories with immediate effect, talking about the third place game between Croatia and Morocco. The third place game was played on Saturday, December 17th, 2022. It was a rapid start to the match where Croatia got their noses out in front just 7 minutes into the game. A mere 2 minutes later, Morocco was able to equalize. After a bit of back and forth during the first 40 minutes, it was Mislav Orsic who scored to put Croatia up 2-1 just before halftime. A second half that saw a few shared chances, relatively equal possession, and a late push by Morocco, nothing budged either way between the two sides. The third place match at the World Cup 2022 ends in favor of Croatia by a score of 2-1. Gaetano, before we talk about Croatia, I just want to talk about the fourth place finishers, Morocco. First, I think what they did this tournament was commendable, to say the least. I don't think many, if any, people had Morocco on their footballing radar in this tournament. And in so many ways, they surprised us game after game. Give us your thoughts on this Morocco team and what they accomplished this tournament.
Yeah, I feel really stupid. I had Morocco finishing bottom of the group. I thought Canada could get a result off them. Although I did end up predicting they would go through a couple of times, they were probably the best story at this tournament. A team that nobody saw coming, thinking they would do anything, and finishing fourth at the World Cup is no small feat. So yeah, it was just incredible from them.
For sure, and I'm in a similar boat to you, and I think probably everyone's in a similar boat when we say that, you know, we didn't have Morocco going through even past the group stage. And when people were talking to me, the only thing that I could stand on in terms of me backing Morocco is when people said, well, Canada ought to get a result against Morocco for sure. And I said, well, just back it up a little bit. Morocco's still a very good side. They've got a couple of world-class players. They've got a pretty talented team. I don't think that they're going to be a soft touch. And like you said, they went on to have a really formidable run at this tournament. And I think that that's something to be commended for sure. And I did feel in this game, Gaetano, there were large patches of it where I looked at it and I thought, well, you know, okay, Morocco, it looks like they've run their race. But then they would come out of nowhere and they'd be revitalized and have all this sort of energy with attacking forward play. And it became a case of, well, you know, where did that come from? They look excellent now. And I do feel that this tournament, not only were they the surprise of the tournament, just like how you said, but they were kind of, in a certain way, a breath of fresh air. Would that be a reasonable way to word it, G?
Oh, that was, yeah, absolutely. You know, the first African team to even qualify for the semifinals of the World Cup. They played such a, like, I don't want to say it was beautiful, because sometimes it wasn't. They got some pretty ugly results. But they played great. The whole tournament, the team unity, their cohesion, they were phenomenal to watch.
And in regards to Croatia, I really enjoyed them this tournament, given their expertise and fluidity to their play. I also feel like Croatia walking away from this tournament with absolutely nothing would have been a bit unfair, as they did play really good football throughout the tournament and found ways to win games late on. Gaetano, your thoughts on the third place winners, Croatia?
Yeah, I mean, just speaking on the third place game, the two goals they scored were probably two of the best goals of the tournament. The diving header from Gvardiol and then Orsic curling one in from the edge of the box. Beautiful. But they played Croatian football the entire tournament. They were hard to play against, countered really well. That midfield of Brozovic, Modric, and Kovacic is just stupid good. I really hope Kovacic doesn't carry that form back into the Premier League, because that would be bad for City and Arsenal.
Right.
But yeah, they were great, kind of as we expect them to be. And this is probably one of the last chances for this specific group. It's a pretty old group. So I think finishing third place in the World Cup is a great way for them to go out.
Well, and I'm glad that you just made those points there, Gaetano, because we talked about it on a few occasions throughout this tournament about how we felt Croatia gelled as a team unit and displayed that sort of togetherness and unity on the pitch that many teams weren't able to find the right balance of, not to mention the quality, like you said, in midfield, particularly, that Croatia was able to display. But we've seen Croatia at these major tournaments for the last several years, and they've been given a proper shout as a team who could really compete against the very best. And you just alluded to it there, but as time moves on now in international football, do you think that Croatia will be continuing to be in the mix of these sorts of things at the likes of the European competitions or the next World Cup? Do you think it's going to happen for them, or do you think that they're going to start to maybe phase out now because they do have a bit of an older squad?
I think it'll be a bit of both. I don't think, if guys like Modric kind of leave the team, that's obviously a massive gap to fill, no matter like how you try and fill it. He's almost irreplaceable. But they do have a lot of really good young players. Like I mentioned, Gvardiol, one of the best young central defenders in the world. Orsic, they have some very, very good players. I'm not sure if they'll be able to keep up the standard they've been at for the last couple tournaments, but I definitely think they'll be, quarterfinal, semifinal, maybe still.
I think it's a fair and reasonable way to put it, what you just said there. And I'm definitely in agreement with you that they'll probably be in the mix at least to be extremely competitive. And just one final one on this game, Gaetano, you kind of have two sides of the coin here. There's that one side that sort of says that this is a prestigious game where two teams fight for a huge honor. And then there is that other side that says, well, what's the point in a third place game? And I bring up these two different sides of the argument to ask this simple question. How much does the third place game matter in this specific competition? Your thoughts, sir?
I think it's still a huge honor to be the third best team at the World Cup. I'd happily take that. I don't know about anyone else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, there's no way to, decide for the semifinalists, who finishes third and fourth other than them playing each other. And I think it's a great way to do it.
I'm with you, Gaetano, and I've often compared the World Cup to the Olympics in terms of hype, viewership, prestige, and importance. I think being acknowledged as the third best team on the planet, as you just alluded to, seeing as this competition only comes around every 4 years, I think that's a rather big deal. So I really don't buy into the argument that it means nothing. It definitely means something. And it's not what either team obviously would want to compete for necessarily, because everybody wants to be number one. But given the circumstances, I think anyone who wins third place at the World Cup can feel a massive sense of accomplishment for their country and for themselves. Would you say that that's fair to say?
Absolutely. And it is a kind of a nice way to end the tournament, getting to celebrate something instead of nothing.
Agreed with that for sure. And full praise, obviously, to Croatia for capturing that third place at this World Cup. And big praise as well to Morocco for the sensational run at this tournament. Gaetano, just your final thoughts on these two sides and this match in particular.
I was very happy that it wasn't the Boer draw that their group stage game was. They really went for it.
Yep.
And I think it was an underrated game in this tournament. Both teams, like I said, really, really went for it and produced some great goals. And yeah.
And now to the most viewed game in all of world football, the World Cup final. This game between Argentina and France took place on Sunday, December 18th, 2022. The game started out with plenty of possession for Argentina, as they were able to penetrate and get between the lines of France's midfield and in some cases beyond the back line of France in attacking phases. After Angel Di Maria was brought down inside the penalty area on 23 minutes, it was Lionel Messi who stepped up to the penalty spot and began to write a fairy tale ending after he calmly converted his penalty to put Argentina up 1-0. Not resting on their one goal advantage, Argentina kept their foot on the pedal as they continued to go at France with quick counter pressing and progressive passing. After a wonderfully worked team move, it was the man who won the penalty, Angel Di Maria, who got on the end of a successful sequence of passing to put up Argentina 2-0, a mere 13 minutes after converting their previous penalty. At halftime, it was all Argentina as they saw themselves up 2-0. The second half saw France having a few slight moments where they attempted to work themselves into the game, but never really found much rhythm in their passing, set pieces, or attacking phases of play. Things looked great for Argentina with just 10 minutes remaining and being up 2-0. The World Cup was seemingly theirs. That was until a lapse of concentration saw France win themselves a penalty kick, and no other than Kylian Mbappe stepped up to score, bringing the game within a goal at just 2-1 with under 10 minutes to play. As dramatic as you'd like, just 97 seconds later, a quick succession of passing saw France get through Argentina's defense, where it was once again Kylian Mbappe who scored and subsequently got the French and every neutral fan out of their seats. With the game being 2-2, the full-time whistle had gone, and it was going to be extra time at the very least that would decide the winner of the 2022 World Cup. With fatigue levels set in as grand as you can imagine, it was end-to-end action in the first extra time period, leaving players and fans alike completely breathless. In the 108th minute, magic, in the form of Lionel Messi, struck again as he was able to put a second chance opportunity across the goal line, which meant Argentina were now up 3-2 with just 12 minutes remaining. But what would this game be without yet another twist? In the 118th minute, a handball against Argentina in their own penalty area would mean France would have their second penalty kick of the game, this time to tie it and surely set up a dramatic ending. It was Kylian Mbappe who stepped up to take his second penalty of the game, and he did not disappoint. Scoring his penalty, the game was now 3-3, and Mbappe successfully completed his hat trick. With 3 minutes of added time at the end of 120 minutes, both teams continued to take our breath away with chances to win it if it weren't for the likes of goalkeepers Hugo Lloris and Emiliano Martinez. This meant that it would be penalty kicks to decide the winner of the 2022 World Cup. After both teams scored their opening penalties, it was back-to-back misses for France that put them in a hole, to which back-to-back converted penalties for Argentina put them up 3-1 on PKs. Randal Kolo Muani of France would have to score to keep things going, and he did just that, bringing things to 3-2 on penalties, still in favor of Argentina. This meant that it all came down to Gonzalo Montiel of Argentina, who would have the opportunity to end it and win the World Cup. After the referee's whistle, the 25-year-old stepped up about as calm as you can imagine, sending French goalkeeper Hugo Lloris the wrong way, and thus crowning Argentina World Cup winners after his penalty hit the back of the goal. A 3-3 result after 120 minutes, it's Argentina who win 4-2 on penalty kicks and are crowned World Cup champions. Gaetano, just thinking of this game right now and talking about it, it's making me sweat a little bit underneath my arms, and honest to God, it's giving me some goosebumps on my forearms at the same time. I have never seen anything quite like this in my lifetime, and I have no reservations or qualms saying that this was the best game that I have ever seen in my life when it comes to soccer. Please give us your assessment here, my friend.
Yeah, I was getting goosebumps as you're telling the story of the game there still and thinking back to celebrating those moments. There's only maybe one game I can think of that comes close to this, and that was Manchester City versus Queen's Park Rangers back in 2012 to win the title.
Yeah.
But even then, this is, you know, that's a massive stage, don't get me wrong, but this is the World Cup final. It's the biggest stage in all of sports, and that was probably the greatest game of soccer ever played.
You know what, Gaetano, I couldn't agree with you more there, and I have to say, and we really do have to get into some of these things, and there has been a lot written about this game, and some positive, some negative, but there's a major headline here regarding France. There were some reports out there that the team had been hit with a case of the flu, or influenza as it was termed in many articles, prior to the final. Do you think that this took a toll on France going into this game in any way?
Well, I know a couple of the players that had reported to have had it actually started the game. I know Raphael Varane was one of them, but he didn't make it through the whole game. He was subbed off in the 113th minute. So maybe it did, maybe it didn't. you know, even if it did, they still played a great game. You know, basically everyone bar Dembele and Giroud, who were early subs, you know, really played a great game. So even if they were sick from influenza or flu, yeah, they played great anyways.
And the reason I asked you is because throughout the first, I would say 60 minutes of the game, perhaps even 70 to 75 minutes, from my perspective, it just seemed like France were second to everything. And it made it seem like those reports had some real credibility. But regardless, France were able to fight their way back into the game. And again, they were in an unthinkable pit in what was obviously the biggest game of the year. And again, they were able to climb out. So I'm with you on many points there. And next, Gaetano, I turn to the obvious one, and that is Lionel Messi. 35 years old, an amazing performance yet again. And the man has now won everything there is to win in football. We don't want to make this about him solely because it was Argentina who won the World Cup as a collective. But it goes without saying that if Argentina don't have Messi, they don't win the World Cup. So, G, I just want your thoughts here on this fantastic individual player and what a fantastic and mesmerizing tournament that he had.
Yeah, I think this is probably the greatest individual performance at a World Cup ever, men's or women's. He became only the second player ever to score in all the knockout games in a World Cup. Only Carly Lloyd did it in 2015 in the Women's World Cup. He's the first man to do it. 10 goal involvements in 7 games. Just mesmerizing. And at 35, too, becomes only the first player to win 2 World Cup golden balls. Just... it was the biggest stage, probably his last chance on it, and he absolutely delivered, and then some.
And a follow-up to that, G, do you think Messi continues to play at international level? Maybe not, like you said, there, another World Cup, but do you think he plays at international level? Because he has hinted that he would like to, quote-unquote, play as a champion. So perhaps that does give us at least some indication moving forward. What do you think here?
Yeah, I mean, I hope for him that he gets to play a few times with the gold World Champions badge on his shirt. You know, even if it's just a few international games, nothing crazy, maybe not another Copa America, probably not another World Cup, but at least a few games for sure I can see him playing.
And to the other side of this, G, it needs to be said that Kylian Mbappe in this game was sensational. 3 goals, 2 of which were penalties, a 3rd penalty in the penalty shootout, which he scored, and he clawed France back from a valley so low that most people did not think that they could get out of. And there was one point too, I remember, I was away this weekend in Toronto and I was watching the game with my girlfriend and I said, I think that this is done here with about 15 minutes left. I said, I think Argentina is going to see this out. But how wrong I was and probably how wrong so many people were. And again, that's the beauty of football. But I just wanted your opinion, G, of this young man's performance and just how good of a footballing career he's going to have moving forward.
I mean, anytime you score 4 goals in the World Cup final, that's, you know, that's a massive performance. He's only 23, already has a World Cup. Basically, the only thing he's missing is a Champions League and probably a Ballon d'Or as an individual award. But yeah, this was, it's a scary thought, thinking that he's only 23. He's probably got at least 2 or 3 more World Cups in him. And he's playing in one of the best teams in the world at PSG. It's a scary thought.
A scary thought indeed, but you got to be so happy if you're a fan of the France national team. And speaking of the France national team, no other than the person at the top, Didier Deschamps, the France coach. Yeah, he made some big substitutions in this game in the first half, which we almost never see, by the way. He did a double substitution with about 5 minutes remaining in the first half. So, gee, I take a look at what France did in this game. They looked a little bit lethargic. They looked second to things, but they were able to really pick it up at the end, obviously, and claw their way back. Was there much more that France could have done in this game from a tactical perspective, or did they really give everything that they had in this game?
I think they gave it pretty much everything they had. I think the tactical subs on 41 minutes were the right call. There was about 8 minutes of added time at the end of the first half, so it would have been nearly 12, 13 minutes without that tactical change. And, you know, Argentina could have got anything. Give Lionel Messi 12 minutes, he can do something. So I think it was the right call to make those early subs. And Colomwani and Thuram both kind of solidified France. They looked a little better than when they had Dembele and Giroud on the pitch. So, yeah, I think I backed the early subs, and I think they gave everything.
Yeah, and I think that those subs certainly, like you said there, were key because it did give a little bit of a different complexion up front, at least a little bit more tempo, a little bit more pace, a little bit more rhythm up front, at least in the later stages of the game, and in terms of some of the pressing that France was able to engage in. And I suppose the fact that Mbappe converted two penalties in the match, plus a third in the penalty shootout, sort of debunks the idea that Harry Kane taking a second penalty for England was a mistake. What do you think of that one, G?
Yeah, no, like I said with Harry Kane, you'd have a penalty if you're France or England, you give the ball to Harry Kane or Kylian Mbappe. That's, unless they're not on the pitch, they take the penalty every time.
Yeah, and you know what? There was actually, I was watching the game on TSN, and I forget which announcer had said, well, Griezmann's not on the pitch, so I think that there may have actually been a show for him to take it. But at the end of the day, when you got Mbappe on the pitch and the form that he's in and the tournament that he's had, you certainly want to give him the ball to put it on the spot and for him to strike it. And the person that he was shooting those penalty kicks against was goalkeeper Emiliano Martinez, former Arsenal man, by the way. And obviously, when it came time for the PK shootout, just one word comes to mind, and that is antics. Obviously, he was getting in the face of the shooters. He was grabbing the ball. He was rolling it off to the side off camera. The first save that he made, he had celebrated as though that they won. And again, that one word that comes to mind is antics. Gaetano, in your opinion, are you yay or nay for these sorts of things? Because you got mixed opinions that people are saying that it's not proper gamesmanship, but then other people saying that they love it because you've got to be switched on psychologically. So do you think that his actions were okay? Or are you on the side that maybe he shouldn't have done it?
Yeah, I don't think he crossed any lines, really. You know, we've seen goalies for however long, you know, doing antics when it comes to penalties, you know, swinging their arms up and down, jumping back and forth, moving the ball. You know, he didn't even, I've seen goalies, you know, rough up the penalty spot before shooters get there. Like, he didn't even do that. He was just kind of dancing around his line. And I think that's part of being a goalie is, you know, the mental aspect of it and getting in a shooter's head. And it worked because he saved the Kingsley Coman penalty, and then Tchouaméni also missed.
You see, Gaetano, I'm actually with you 100% on that. And obviously, I'm not a goalkeeper, and neither are you. We're both outfield players, but this is part of it. And the one person that actually was supposed to have control of this, and we'll know this tonight because obviously I'm going to be refereeing you in a little under an hour's time. But the referee, if anything, he could have intervened if he thought that he was not showing proper gamesmanship or if he was using dissent by action or dissent by word. So in the end, I'm with you that the antics were fine because he was not consequenced in any way. And if there was a consequence that was meant to be implemented, it should have come down certainly to the referee. And Gaetano, this was Argentina's third World Cup victory of all time. Now, we can't look drastically ahead because in all likelihood that, you know, it's not going to be accurate to do so. And it probably won't be fair either. But I just want to pose this question as it is framed fairly and relatively reasonable, in my opinion. Given Argentina's youth and the quality that they've shown this tournament, what can we expect in about 4 years' time purely from a footballing perspective? Not to say that they're going to win, lose, or come third place or whatever. What do you just think from a footballing perspective from Argentina in 4 years' time?
I think they have a couple of very good young players, Enzo Fernandez and Julian Alvarez being the two main ones. And I think as long as they can keep those guys as the centerpiece of the team, the spine of that team, Emiliano Martinez isn't even very old either. He's only 26, 27. So they have a very good spine in that team. As long as either the coach stays on or they get another coach who has a similar philosophy, I think they should do absolutely fine.
Copa America winners and now World Cup winners. It's Argentina who are at the top of the footballing world, and rightly so. France are runners-up as the second-best team in world football. But what cannot be split between these two teams, regardless of their final positions in this tournament, is what they showcase to the world during the course of this game. Surely something that we will never, ever forget. And finally, before we start to move on, G, just some other major awards in addition to the third, second, and first place teams that were handed out after the final. Kylian Mbappe of France was the winner of the Golden Boot, which is awarded to the highest goal scorer of the tournament. Mbappe had 8 goals in 7 games. The goalkeeper of the tournament went to Emiliano Martinez of Argentina. In 7 games, Martinez conceded 7 goals with 3 clean sheets. The best young player of the tournament went to Enzo Fernandez of Argentina. The 21-year-old featured in all 7 games and played every minute of the round of 16, quarterfinals, semifinals, and final. He scored one goal and recorded one assist during this tournament. To this point, he has only played 10 international games for Argentina. And finally, the Golden Ball winner, which is awarded to the tournament's best player, went to none other than Argentina's Lionel Messi, scoring 7 goals in 7 games at this tournament and picking up 3 assists. It was Messi who convincingly won this individual award after playing every minute of every game for his country and captaining them throughout en route to a World Cup title. Gaetano, these 4 winners are amongst football's very best and are in prestigious company of their own. Your comments on these 4 award winners?
Yeah, I think Messi was a no-brainer to win the Golden Ball. By far the best player in the tournament. Mbappe, like you said, 8 goals in 7 games is ridiculous, including 3 in the final. Emiliano Martinez winning the Golden Glove was great. I also think there were a couple other shouts. Wojciech Szczesny had a great tournament for Poland. And I am forgetting the Croatian keeper's name right now, but he also had a great tournament.
Yep.
And yeah, I think Enzo Fernandez was probably the best young player of the tournament. Could have also went to Julian Alvarez, but that's, you know, tomato, tomato. They both had a phenomenal tournament.
I agree with that fully. And again, we'd be splitting hairs, obviously, if we went one way or the other. But these 4 players certainly are footballing royalty, at least for this moment in time, and perhaps in some of their cases forever. And now, based on our picks, that means that both of us picking Croatia, nothing was ever settled there because we both picked Croatia to win. But the final, to which I picked Argentina and you, Gaetano, picked France, suggests that I won the tournament long bet. That being said, humility and honesty is a very big thing, not just on this show, but in life itself. So, folks, I have to say that before the tournament began, and once more when the group stage was done, and then once more in a pre-recording nearly 2 weeks ago, my friend, brother in soccer, and co-host Gaetano said on 3 different occasions, twice over face-to-face and then once on text, that Argentina would win the World Cup. So in all fairness, there is no victory amongst our betting, but only moral ones. So between Gaetano and myself, here is our breakdown of our predictions. We got 10 out of 16 picks correct in the group stage. We got 4 out of 8 picks correct in the round of 16. We got 2 out of 4 picks correct in the quarterfinals, 1 out of 2 picks correct in the semifinals, and then we technically got 2 out of 2 picks correct in the third place and World Cup final games, purely because we both picked Croatia for the third place. I picked Argentina for the final on air. He did off air. So that's 19 out of a possible 32 picks correct. And again, when I was on this show with Scott, God rest his soul, he often encouraged me to use teaching references often because I am a teacher in my career. So when we get this whole idea here of 19 out of a possible 32 picks correct, that converts to 59.375%. And that's 59.375% of games guessed correctly, by the way. An average of half of the games picked correctly by the general public, so the outside world, would bring us to nearly 10% better than the statistical averages on betting odds. Not a bad showing, G. So well done.
Hey, that was great. Hey, half those picks are yours too, Scarps.
Like you said, we're both, one half of, or two halves of a perfect footballing brain?
Exactly, yeah.
A great way to put it. So some huge fun being able to go through this entire tournament with you, Gaetano, start to finish, and really getting our ideas out there and analyzing football to the absolute highest level. And now, just a final question to you before we entirely wrap up our World Cup discussions. What was your highlight moment of the tournament?
So I can't choose between two right now. The first one being Alphonso Davies, the goal against Croatia. One of the best moments of my life. It was so much fun celebrating that, finally getting that first goal at the Men's World Cup. And the second moment was actually when Lionel Messi had won the Golden Ball and was walking across the podium to get his picture taken. And he stopped at the World Cup trophy and finally got to lean in and give it a kiss. It was just the perfect moment.
Goosebumps all the way around. And all we can say that we really enjoyed this World Cup, you and I did, Gaetano. And we really hope that everyone who has tuned in to listen to us talk about the World Cup over the past, I suppose, 6 weeks has enjoyed it as well. So thank you so much for that. This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, and you are listening to Full Time on the Game Sports Show. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the Pizza Portal app for any of the three locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious, hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. Folks, the world of club football, rather, and domestic league competitions resume here in just under a week's time. With one competition ending in the World Cup and my, as we just talked about, I mean, probably some of the best football that we've seen in our lifetime, at least, or in a very long time. We do gear up once again and get ready for we are normally accustomed to seeing this time of year in just a few days' time. And that, of course, is club football. This is totally different than what we see each year, Gaetano, as we've never had a World Cup over the Christmas period, nor during the club football season, respectively. So how do you think, really, that the start of these domestic leagues will go as things kind of get going again?
I think you're going to see a lot of the big teams struggle a little bit. A lot of their players either haven't come back from the World Cup or are just getting back right now. You're going to see a lot of the young players getting some minutes, and you might see some big upsets.
And I think in the way of being informative, what we'll do here is we'll simply review the way in which each table for Europe's Big Five leagues look as the startup is ready to get underway. And again, we always have newcomers to the show, and we have mentioned this in our first few episodes of full-time season two, but we'll definitely review that here now. In the English Premier League, it's Arsenal at the top of the table with Manchester City, Newcastle, and Tottenham filling spots 2 through 4. In Italy's Serie A, it's Napoli cruising at the top of the table, while Milan, Juventus, and Lazio round out the top 4. In La Liga, Barcelona narrowly sit at the top with Real Madrid just below them. Real Sociedad and Athletic Club finish the top 4 standings. In the Bundesliga, Bayern Munich are in first place in the German top flight. SC Freiburg, RB Leipzig, and Frankfurt make up the remaining top 4 positions. In France's Ligue 1, it's PSG who are relatively comfortable at the top. Lens, Rennes, and Marseille finalize the remaining top 4 positions. Gaetano, in your opinion, how long will it be before we see things starting to really take shape again in these leagues? Because as we know, there are teams who have been essentially able to train without much of any pause, where there are other teams, the top ones, as you mentioned earlier, who had several players away for the World Cup. So your thoughts really on how things will unfold and how long it's going to take for things to really take shape?
Yeah, I can't think of many major injuries from this World Cup that are going to carry over to, you know, the top teams in club football. So I don't think that's a big issue. I think it's more just getting some players some rest. I think it'll be maybe 1 or 2 weeks before we kind of see some normality back in the top leagues.
Yeah, I think 1 or 2 weeks for things to sort of settle and get rolling again. As we know, even professionals need some time to settle in. A reminder to our listeners that domestic games in league competitions throughout Europe commence on Boxing Day, December 26, 2022. And to round out today's show, we will give everyone a local soccer update. Here in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, youth, men's, and women's soccer will finish up this evening, Tuesday, December 20th, 2022, and we will all take a collective break for the Christmas holiday. After the conclusion of tonight's matches at the Indoor Centre in Sault Ste. Marie, youth soccer will once again start in the new year on January 2nd. Men's and women's soccer will start shortly thereafter on January 8th. A reminder for youth players in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and for all in the Central Algoma region. You can register for technical and tactical training, which takes place every Saturday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Northern Community Centre in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Ages 10 through 18, that's birth years 2005 to 2014, are all welcome, and registration for our academy can be done at www.nhsc.ch. That's www.nhsc.ca. Please visit the technical and tactical training tab to register. Registration for the second block of our 7-week academy closes on January 20th, 2023. Be sure to register before the deadline. The academy is designed to improve basic soccer skills, improve technical and tactical ability, enhance social skills, confidence, and teamwork. In our player-centric environment, players are challenged, motivated, and are introduced to training concepts which revolve around creating a complete and well-rounded player. Groups are broken up by age and skill level, with coaching led by Algoma University soccer coaches. Gaetano, how have you been enjoying the indoor soccer season as we approach the mid-season break, which again ends tonight?
So I've not been able to get to as many games as I would have liked, and I feel bad letting my teammates down in that respect, but we got a big game coming up tonight to end the calendar year, and I'm looking forward to it.
For sure. And it has been so great to actually, I think that this is probably the first time in two or three seasons where we haven't had a schedule interrupted by a COVID break. So I'm really, really thankful for that. And I know that the youth leagues are as well as the women's league. And certainly it's been a great 3 months to kickstart the season here, and definitely looking forward to being on the pitch with you tonight. I'll be reffing, you'll be playing. And again, we get to talk footy, we get to play footy, we get to ref footy, we get to coach footy. Man, oh man, what can be better? This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, and you are listening to Full Time on the Game Sports Show. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the Pizza Portal app for any of the three locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious, hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Full Time. As we conclude today's show, we want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. We send you nothing but the best this holiday season, and we hope that you all enjoy some well-deserved time off with those that you love. Gaetano, this is our final show of this calendar year. I can't believe that, but it has been a great deal of fun once again, my friend.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the show, Dan. It's been a great time. I'm looking forward to season three, and yeah, we're looking forward to bigger, brighter things in the future.
Most definitely. Things continue to climb up in the world and in the world of footy. So definitely looking forward to what's ahead of us for sure. A reminder to our listeners that the next episode of Full Time will be recorded the week of January 9th, 2023. That will be our first recording of the new year and the first episode of season three of Full Time. For weekly content, make sure to hit like, follow, and subscribe to all of our platforms of both the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment and Media on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now back on Podbean. Be sure to check out our website at www.thegamesportshow.com. That's www.thegamesportshow.com. For Gaetano Gallo, my name is Daniel Scarpino, and thank you for tuning in to Full Time. We look forward to seeing you at kickoff in the new year back here on the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment and Media. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone. Your support is the greatest gift of all. Best always.